Unfortunately not. Not yet. I have my disc yet, but not yet. And if you use one of the books. In fact, I'm so fucked at the moment too.
Right.
It's like a shitload of things happening. I need to sort my shit out. I even bring my glasses. At least I can see clear and fucking believable. I can't stress myself out. It's just not happening, not today. Maybe some other time, but not today. So it's Michael from PMG. I didn't have time for this stuff. Seriously, did not have time for this stuff. Just do the apology. Good morning, lady in red. Not good morning, good afternoon. How are you?
Good.
Is that your router? Oh.
No.
Ek kan sien, hy gaan my besig hou. Ek gaan jou net sê, Ricardo, ek gaan jou net sê, 3 op 'n slag word, dit is net te blief. Michael, okay. Deel van alles is.
Je mag de chance moet ervoor.
Ja, of course, ja. Maar het was beter als hij eerst was.
Ik heb mijn eentje die
patiënt. Beter als hij de deel van alles is.
Ik heb mijn eentje die patiënt die
hij kan
maken. Voor mijn patiënten.
Kunnen ze heel goed meer plein zijn? Jelle.
Ja, nee, nee.
Maar het moet nog dan met jullie wat paar issues om te deel. Wat wil ik eerst, ik heb twee toen, ik heb twee, net een summary, nee?
Ja, nee, dat is van het
idee. Dat is nog aan, ik heb twee toen, ik heb twee. Heb je nog twee,
ja,
dat
is fijn.
Oké, dat is fijn. Dat is fijn. Alright, doe maar vijf bij vijf, man. Doe maar buiten blijven. En dan zie ik, ik heb twee summary, dan zeg je iets wat je wil, dan ga ik allemaal aan. Ja. Ja, thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Stella, can we get 1 minute, especially because the last time I saw on the
hello, hello, madam. Can we see the slag from out here? Wat de aanvaarding van mijn narie vergadering. Of je bij de volgende bij je report.
Oké,
dan
gaan we los.
Ja.
Maar jij gaat wel stoppen.
De volgende.
Oké.
Dan is je report.
Dat betekent dat de next time we just be the adoption office. Because after that you must know.
Okay, so Ricardo, what's your second?
Yes, yeah. And then the report is a doctor.
Oh, okay, right.
এখানে কি রিয়েল আছে আমি নাম লিয়েছি এখানে কি যে নাওতে নাইন খালি না তিন দিন ইউ আর ডেইনি রিপোর্ট তো সিনে প্রশ্ন আছে আই টু ডি এ না লুগা আমি মানে স্টার হ্যাঁ আরে না ফলো দিস তো দা এলেন আচ্ছা রিজন এলেন
Die
Mensen daarachter, waar daarachter zijn. Wat is dat nou zo ver? Wie is het? Wie is het dan? Doe
nou.
Wat is dat nou? Mensen die daarachter zitten van daar, waar is dat? Hoe zit dat nou zo ver? Hoe zit het met voor die
kant?
Nee,
dat is
een
ander.
Ach, nee. Welkom.
I hope the meeting will be good.
It will be a good meeting.
It will be long.
What's he doing?
He's
asking what he's doing. He's asking what he's doing. He's asking what he's doing. He's asking what Good afternoon, goedemiddag allemaal. Good afternoon, members. Good afternoon, the Provincial Treasury, Gambling Board, and Michael Kilomemulini. I tried to say. Advocate, good afternoon. Minister, good afternoon. HOD, good afternoon. DGD. Mr. Malila, good afternoon. All the officials of Provincial Treasury, we sending attendance register around, so we're not going to ask every single person to introduce him or herself. We will get the names from the attendance register. Members, if you're ready, then we can continue. I'm going to just ask the minister to do an introduction. And then we will respond to the introduction, and then we will do the vote 3 appropriations.
Thank you, Chief President. Thank you for the members of the committee, the same committee of finance, to present our budget for vote 3 for the 2019-20 financial year. And thank you for this opportunity also. I'm very happy that we have also our staff, but also a colleague from the PNG, the Parliamentary Monitoring Group. Thank you for being here. As well as the chair chairperson of the Western Cape Gambling and Racing Board, as well as the CEO of the Western Cape Gambling and Racing Board. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, the Minister. HOD, your side.
Thank you, Chairperson, and to the members of the committee for this afternoon. Okay. Chair, just a very short introduction from my side, and thank you for the opportunity to talk about our plans for the coming year. Chair, I think the budget assets appropriated for the budget, about 357 million for the 19-20 year. And I think, Chair, maybe just to give you some insight, that we have gone through our strategic planning processes like last year, and in fact, we have three focused areas for the strategic planning process. One is to make sure that the internal governance issues are addressed, and in relation to processes and people management. And then the second issue, Chair, is continued focus on PFMA monitoring and implementation. And the third area of focus was the local government oversight, monitoring and implementation. So those are three tough areas that informed our strategic planning discussions, and we did a little bit of it by checking of our EPP. Chair, the one thing that was clear, and we did, we are on the last year of the strategic plan. So the key thing for us was to consolidate and understand what is a little bit of our progress, and to take the appropriate decisions in terms of the things that we need to take up in the APT, and that's been done. Chair, I think I just want to make a point that what was emphasized at that strategic planning session was that we're not departing from our strategic plan. So the importance of the driving and getting good governance, as well as integrated management, but the specific focus on trying to get ICT and cyber embedded into our thinking, and to try and move away from this compliance, as I said, it's also about forward thinking, but then in that process to focus on, okay, our thinking aligned to results. Chair, so that concludes my open comments. Thanks.
Thank you very much. HOD, members, I'm going to start at page 83 to page 93, basically the overview. Are there any questions on that first 10 pages that you want to ask?
It's 10 pages.
10 pages, yeah, that's right. And then we'll continue with the rest. And McKenzie?
Thank you, Chairman. Just on the overview, this puts me on a question. With our budget of 357 million rand, comparatively with other 9 departments, if you know the information offhand, how large is our budget? And then, not in the province, the 9 provinces of your counterpart, if you have an idea, 3,000, 7,000, this is my thinking. And then, obviously, this budget was done 374 cents of Wednesday night, and there's more coming over the next few months, including the 1st of June, the carbon tax and all of that. What is the direct impact going to be on your department? Has that been thinking about costing it? Because it's going to come, yes, you know, in some way, the direct impact now. And a lot of the officials, you know, travel around the province, especially in municipalities and health and health where they can and they need it. And how is that going to affect you as well? And going forward with the other departments, not specifically in your plan here, but I know that is going to happen, is there sort of a minister at an MTEC forum or at a technical forum with the HOGMC where you guys are planning as to how you're going to combat the increases
come to
financially.
Thank you. Member 8? Yeah. Okay, you're welcome. Yeah. Member Bivakal, Member 8? Continue.
Jefferson, I was talking about chapter 4.
Yeah. Sure.
And I want to refer to the 10 million per year for 3 years. If you can just unpack that. I've gone through the door and it's not clear how we're going to allocate that. And my observation is you didn't really apply your mind, and maybe you can enlighten us in terms of how this will be allocated. Because if all municipalities comply with the standards that you set there, how would you split the 10 million rand. And I see it's not 10 million rand, it's for the first year, it's 8 million rand. So if you just clarify that part as well, will the 2 million rand be administrative responsibilities? So criteria is important. How are we going to do it? How exactly it's going to happen with municipalities? And I think the question was asked as well, is this not really rewarding the obvious, and how will this be something different that we see there? Chairperson, I'm 85. I asked the issue around the personnel and how you're going to contain the large role. And just to get your understanding in terms of the implementation of the large role and the scheme attached to that, what would be the issues? If I move on to page 91, Chairperson, there's a supply chain management provincial government. You also refer to you're going to give support to the development and implementation of an economic procurement policy. If I can just understand, what is this economic procurement policy that you refer? It's almost like you're stating it's something different than usual. And then on page 93, Chairperson, you say you're going to be under reprioritization of the pool. You're going to be a people-centered organization. I think you also mentioned that in management, you're going to strive to get at least 50% women. Now, I would like to understand where you stand now, where you stand now with that target, and how you're going to achieve it. Is it by chance, or is there a specific plan? You also refer to that reprioritization under succession and retention. And I would like to understand what you're going to do around retention, because you've got a vacancy rate of 22%, and are you going to really address the retention issue and with that the issue around keeping people here and looking at the vacancy rate? And then, Chairperson, there's a reference to the implementation of the employment equity, and you say you're committed to employment equity. And if you can just tell us, what is this commitment of yours saying around employment equity and how that happened? That's on the first page, Chair. Thanks.
Thank you, Member A. Member Bivanko.
I want to start with question 3, under your mission, you said to improve governance to advancing the accountability and quantify the economic value of the taking back for the economy. And then right at the bottom, you said to promote accountability and financial governance within departments, entities, and societies. Now, just taking that sentence into account, how do you promote accountability and financial governance within the municipalities when the basis of any budget, let's start with the IEP and budget of a municipality, depends on the functionality of their ward committees, because communities have input in the IEP and the IEP has input in the budget. For 6 months, you know, the municipality has never had one. How do they get to the IEP? How do they get to the budget? And how is it monitored if that hasn't happened? That's the one question. As the other day, Chair, I think I have a question that I'm not sure whether Mr. Mandela did answer. If he did, I would apologize. I asked, what did you think, because your the debate was around the allocation of equitable share and the movement of people and how that affects what's allocated to you by the DORA. I asked you about the formula that has been changed in the DORA actually to underwrite the fact that people, taking into account the fact that people have moved, because your budget has increased by 6%. How do you see that affecting the increase of your budget? And then, Chair, I also wear another hat in another committee, a very important committee, by the way, and that is Vote 9, who have within their functions to monitor Section 24G environmental violations, but they have no staff. And according to them, they have made deputations to Treasury, and so I'd like to know from Treasury, what is it that DEPI needs to do to convince you that if you are as environmentally conscious as they are, and I imagine that you should be, what do they need to do to convince you to be able to increase the budget of the DEPI? And I think there are two people in that department. And if you read what they say, their budget is decreased because the 24G violations, the collection of funds from that has dropped dramatically. And one of the reasons is because people have the right to appeal, which is their right. But it's also because there aren't enough people to monitor these violations in our environmentally conscious environment. I also look through this budget, and I think since last year I've been appealing to you to somehow show us how are you allocating funds towards a dedicated gender budget. Whether it's across different departments or whether it's a specific program, gender budgeting needs to be important, and as a fact that you as Treasury have oversight over the other 14, are you monitoring whether the other 13 departments are taking gender budgets into account in the final presentation to you? And if not, why not? Let me leave the other questions to you.
Thank you, Member Pivanko. Over to Provincial Treasury, Minister HOD.
Okay, maybe just to for my own team, I'm going to call on you to assist me with some of the questions in the respective areas of responsibility. So I'm going to kick off with a couple of responses. I think just to indicate that we have done a comparison some time ago around where we sit in relation to other treasuries. I won't have to give the exact position, but we have at the bottom in terms of budget and our objectives. But there are different reasons for that. I mean, it's not just simply just about comparing budgets. I mean, because some treasuries have functions within some of centralized functions. So I think that, you know, there are reasons for the variation, so it's not something that you should just take into something like a financial comparison. Chair, I'm going to just make one more comment around the HR-related issues. So Chair, I agree with the issues that the committee members have raised around the challenges around retention, the issue around attracting staff, etc. This is why we've made the statement that we want to be people-centered. There are challenges. We can't just, I mean, the public service, we can't just retain people. There are certain regulations, actually, in my view, that have actually become counterproductive in relation to our ability, for example, to counter-offer when people want to leave. Right? So I'm just giving you one example. Then we're competing now also with other provinces. So people are quite mobile in relation to how they are able to move. In relation to our specific initiatives to deal with employment equity and transformation in general, I mean, that's one of the, we've been going through our processes last year, one of the three strategic thrust areas that we've identified is to actually be very much specific to promote these things as one of our top three areas from an HR perspective. So I just want to give us a little bit of assurance, and this is something that we're driving consciously and actively. Now, you may want to ask us, how does it land? I mean, we're trying to deal with it as part of the recruitment and selection processes. If they are low, we need to make sure, for example, that the recruitment lists are representative, that we have adequate representation both from a gender and from a employment equity perspective on those lists. And we need to be strong motivations for departures from those things. So we're actually trying to push back and promote these things as a strategic thrust areas as indicated. Chair, I'm going to ask sorry, somebody might have it in the start with the two or three questions that were raised. Now if you can deal with the economic procurement issue and now the issue on budget, gender budgeting. aesthetically really big economic impact that it will have, particularly on the poorest of the poor. In relation to the budgets of all the partners, including for this region, we provided for inflation of goods and services estimated about 5 to 4% for 2020. In fact, if one looks at the analysis that was done during the recent fuel price increase and the ones that are going to come later in the end of February and June, it's estimated that those things, even though we've seen these increases, that it still remains within the reserve bank kind of range for inflation of ranging between 3 to 6%. But notwithstanding that, this increase will have an impact, particularly on the traveling streams, because the portion that poorer people spend from the household budget on traveling related expenses is much higher, you know, for the poorest of the poor. So from where we are, internally in the department, we're also looking at other mechanisms to also contain. I think on the expenditure side, we're also looking at different models internally in the department, particularly as it relates to our engagements with municipalities. We're also exploring maybe trying to look at addressing issues in municipalities from a regional perspective, that also say internal costs related to travelling, also accommodation, etc. But particularly the fuel price, which will have an impact, you know, in relation to poorer communities. Then I think Alex will respond to what we're doing to contain the wage bill, also in relation to the city. I mean, there's lots of work that's been done in that space, and maybe to give the committee some assurance in relation to the work that she's done in that space with her own team in relation to all the departments. Chair, let me just respond to the issue around the question that was raised, the two questions that was raised by Ms. Bielenko on the pace and the movement of people. I think the point I was trying to make in the budget committee is that provinces are compensated for the movement of people. But what happens is that that compensation gets phased in over a period of 3 years. So that, by implication, impacts on the budget. So, think back about this one slide that I made. This province was compensated about 183 million rand in 2019-2020 for the shifts in the equitable share, mainly as a result of the movement of population, or let me call it about population growth, because it's not only growth, it's not only about movement into the province. So they were this round was compensated 183 million. And if the member goes back to the presentation, you will see in the last year of the current 2021-2022, that number jumps up to about 900 million because of the phasing. Now, the principle, the mathematical principle, is that if those numbers were not phasing, we would have seen those kind of adjustments in the first year of the implementation of the piece. So in summary, what I'm saying is that funds are compensated, the formula is in concept, and the budget council has agreed to deal with the shocks, positive or negative, because obviously it's a zero-sum game, so there are problems that's affected by population shift. And to deal with those shifts and not to have unnecessary shocks in the budgetary system, we rather put it in over a period of 3 years. And if there ever should be a time that we are affected by negative population movements, the same principle would apply. Therefore, this principle has been in place for the last couple of years. This is lastly in relation to the issue around the Department of Economic or Environmental Affairs and Development Planning around Section 24G fees. It's definitely correct, Ms. Bielenko, that the fees in relation to that has taken a dip, and it's partly because it's difficult for the department to actually project for penalties, because normally penalties only levied in the case of transgression, and therefore that number has gone down. What we're advocating to all departments is that in their planning process, and if the department is knows that in terms of issue of protecting on the environment that it's important, that they must actually prioritize their own posts. So if the member goes into that post in particular, it's for the accounting officer to prioritize which post he or she wants to fill, given the strategy that the department employs. And the team of the NMS leadership have done an extensive analysis around the upper limits of personnel. And we've been clear with all the departments to say that you get an upper limit, There is help for appointing people in that upper level, but you need to make your choices, because as Treasury, we don't want to make the decisions on behalf of the government office to say appoint person X or appoint person Y in whatever position. So up to that government office to actually prioritize on their own issues. I think those are all the stuff in the municipalities and
Now just pause for a moment, Member Vivankar, he seems to be not happy with the response. You want to follow?
Yes, Chair.
Yeah.
It's not the first time I'm going to take an easy way out. And I think you know that's not the answer to the problem. It's not about them prioritizing which post I'm going to go. It's about them not having enough money to even prioritize, even if that post that they thought was important, they wanted to appoint somebody, they don't have the money to do it. So the request is that you consider upping the allocation to them. That's the request. You cannot expect the department to function optimally, especially in that program, with two people across the province. And you know that people are not taking choices, especially with violations on the environmental issues. And they've learned that another reason why the funds are being depleted. One, I understand your argument about projection, but it's also about the fact that if more people were out there to pinpoint and pin down the people who are violating, those funds would increase. But they can't because they don't have the money to afford them. So if you're saying that they must now reprioritize those extra speed posts that they have because they don't have any extra money, in fact, they just need to appoint one person, where would they get the extra money to appoint another person? They need the budget increase to appoint another person. That's the argument I think that they can use.
Yeah. Over to the department.
Chair, I mean, we can show the numbers to the member of the local community. Every year we go through two different processes. Mm. We are not convinced that the department has a any shortage in terms of money to appoint people. And what we can do is we can show on the numbers, we can show to the member how much money has been surrendered by that department on an annual basis, which portion comes from personnel, which portion comes from non-personnel. And I mean, we are a record since we are making our position and making the appropriate choices in terms of filling certain positions. There's no department out there that will be able to fill the entire structure. That's also the reality, because it's not enough money. But in relation to economic environmental affairs development planning, it's up to them to prioritize. And we'll show the numbers to make available in terms of the park performance.
Thank you. You may continue with the
just a last comment.
On the same.
Yeah, the renting from that parking comes from state nature because of what happened in Queensland.
So, Mike, same.
That's good.
Okay.
The majority, the largest portion of this energy comes from state nature, not necessarily from. But I would appreciate that.
Thank you very much. Yeah, thank you. We will request it. You may order members. Thank you. You may continue. The father.
Impact on the wage bill. Overall, after those
department or to someone, I don't want the department to understand, because now the provincial treasury has a ceiling in terms of how we are calculating in terms of what the department can afford and what is in terms of our fiscal strategy, and then the department has their ceiling budget. And that's in terms of where the two parties in terms of their conversation about the assumptions, and we actually go through in terms of the assumptions that both parties can agree on, that number one, the scale of mandate, and number two, contact on the wage bill. So you'll see that in terms of the wage bill, it's been 53% in 54% in 1819, and then it increases in 1920 to a projected 55% in 1920, and it increases to 56% in the after years of the NPS. So you might ask them as a treasury, do you consider that controlling the wage bill? So that, for us, yes it does, because when we go further and through the year, I explained to the budget committee previously that over and above that, we also have the 80-20 principle. So what happens during the year if the department does not spend the spending on COE as according to plan, then the 80% of that will refer back to the fiscal. So what that little third year we get to implement the strategy. So what that has already told us is the fact that when you go in terms of about a 1% increase projected, for example, in terms of from a 53% to a 54%, or 54% to a 55%, it actually means that it comes into the adjustments estimate. We will be taking money away from those, and therefore that contains the wage bill even further, and that will decrease even what we are projecting at the beginning of the financial year. So for us as a treasury, that defines in terms of is containing the wage bill, but we go further in terms of looking at in terms of what that post departments are actually looking for, but where they find themselves as well. So if you don't have a macro structure approved for this new post, then that will not even be considered as part of the current projections going forward, because we have to take that into account in terms of the timing and the administrative approval that has to go along with that. So those are just some of the assumptions that we take into account with that concern. But we also take into account, like I said, service delivery. So you'll see that in the 55% and why it's gone up from 54% to 55%, just because we are looking at employing 400 more educators, for example, in education. We are looking at appointing 1,700 more medical staff within health. So those are the two departments that have grown exponentially compared to previous years. And that is mainly because of the service allocations that we are facing, that we all understand. Further into in terms of how to contain the wage bill is putting the emphasis on the accounting officer. So all the departments at the moment are employing and adopting the same strategy. It's taken 3 years to get there, that they're all adopting the same strategy and almost the same assumption. Meaning, if a post becomes available, it does not mean that the same post will be filled. An accounting officer now has to put in place procedures in the department to find out, based on our mandate, based on our objective, based on our current performance, is this post right now still needed, or is there another post that we need to fill? So that is one of the strategies that we employ in a short way to maintain the wage bill. So if you actually see year on year, we have increased about our wage bill about 5,000 people since we've done this, and that is why we're still having the lowest percentage in terms of the rest of the country, with the exception now of 1920, but that we feel is in terms of addressing in terms of our fiscal strategy, in terms of the risk that we're facing the health and education is concerned. But the most important thing is in terms of putting the emphasis on the accounting officers in terms of the prioritization within their work, number two, towards their mandate, and in terms of the current performance that they're facing, and in terms of the targets that they still want to achieve going forward, that they need to do that within their work. And then in terms of, I just want to end up regarding the numbers, regarding those nine I remember that going back from 1516 right up till the 1819, the vote yes has given back already 5 million, 60 million, 22 million, 25 million from 1 year to the next year. Those are, you're quite right, in the last 2 years, 12 million of that is for Cape Nature, but you can still see the numbers I mentioned, there's still opportunity for revitalization. Further, that is only what is given up from 1 year to another year. That is not taking into account what we have taken away from COE and this building year on year. But those numbers we do have here for you. Good afternoon, members. We have got a previous engagement. Hi. At a previous engagement, we requested that we look at gender-based budgeting, which is also called gender-responsive budgeting in various areas, because it's very difficult to just base your budgeting on what should go, what portion should go to men and what portion should go to women. So at a national level, the Department of Women did provide or develop a draft framework on gender-responsive budgeting, and that is for planning, budgeting, monitoring, evaluating, as well as auditing, and that is something that's happening at a national level and it's also being filtered through to all of the provinces. So what we did is we first had to go and do some research as to what gender-based budgeting is versus what gender-responsive budgeting is and how we can take that forward through the integrated planning and budgeting process. As an initial response, as part of our PGMP2 processes, we did request that departments provide us with a breakdown of the gender-responsive projects and programs that they have in the various departments and what that looks like. So that information I can provide you as well for a department. It doesn't look the same for all of the departments. Some could provide us with exact budget numbers based on what the project or the program was, and others could just generally explain to us what are the kinds of things that they're looking at with regards to gender responsive budgeting. So what we are going to do as part of the work in the provincial government budget office and part of our impact and understanding what the impact of our budget is on the citizen, we are going to look at, guide and monitor gender-based responsive budgeting as part of our integrated processes as we move in. But I can provide that information.
Okay.
Okay.
Chair, we do
take
the recommendations of the quite seriously.
I can hear that.
Just on 2 issues, I'll respond to the food incentive grant and maybe I'll see if there was more items there. And then also maybe just introduction on the economic procurement policy where Nada will go further on there. Just on the good governance incentive grant, as you're fully aware that we as a provincial treasury together with the Department of Local Government oversight and assisting the departments of the municipalities in terms of improving financial governance. So one of the issues that we've concentrated on over the last couple of years is also particularly looking at improving the audit outcomes. But we've also realized it's not only about audit outcomes, it's actually the service delivery on the current level. But we've also driving is a more integrated approach between municipalities and over the region. So we've identified the incentive grant to actually encourage municipalities to do better. Rightly so, as you've said, it's a new grant. We're still deciding on the criteria. Part of our purpose is actually to sit with the municipalities that we identify the correct criteria, and within the next couple of months, we will finalize those criteria with the municipalities. It was not the intention that we, as a provincial treasury, literally decide on those criteria. It was always the objective of, because of the integrated management approach, that we sit with municipalities. So when we finalize those criteria, that we actually reward the municipalities for being excellent in terms of financial governance. That's the one issue. The issue about the economic procurement policy, and the other day was also referenced when we had a session with the budget committee. It's linked to the preferential procurement policy. Now, in the preferential procurement policy, there are numerous targets for empowerment. So one of the issues that we looked at is that we cannot focus on all the targets. So as a province, we need to decide in terms of where we're going as far as our economic development is concerned, which targets we will particularly ask the departments for of each and every department to set those targets on their own. And there was a concern from us that, you know, if we allow each and every department to do that without having a comprehensive policy in terms of where we're going, you know, that we will not be able to meet the objectives of the preferential procurement policy. So now they will just give you an indication in terms of what the economic procurement policy contains.
So to add, I think emanating from the other decision and linked to the MTDP is where using procurement as a lever for socio-economic compound. So in terms of the preferential procurement, one the aspect that we're dealing with, but it's a little broader in terms of how we focus in the overall policy. So part of which would be a more realistic research-based approach in how we approach the market, in what targets we set, in terms of holistically as a problem, and how we collectively as 13 departments leave our procurement space in terms of efficiency in dealing with socioeconomic empowerment. To that would be other things like how we use technology, how we use suppliers, in terms of capacitation and development, how to strengthen our own capacity in terms of strategic sourcing and the things that we need to do to enable a policy of this nature. So it's largely, the principle is economic development, but SHEDI plays a large role in terms of the procurement aspect and how we actually look at functioning within the infrastructure medium and the government's platforms to do that. It's also based, it adds to whatever else we're doing within the accounting officer system and how we apply procurement in the problem, inclusive of strategic sourcing and other mechanisms that we use. So it's just landing it in a more strategic space. And
have
some bigger footprint in terms of socioeconomic empowerment.
Anybody else?
Answers to the other questions, Mr. Bruno, you mentioned that they achieved the 50%. I don't think that one of the intentions is properly responded to the chairperson, which is the employment equity. It's a bit in general. Approach, but while I'm speaking, I'm concerned about that 10 million per year, and I did ask why is it 8 million in the first year, and there was still a bit of criteria chosen. I mean, the only thing when you go to municipalities, you will have some certainty and some discussion already to take a process like that forward, but it seems like they didn't apply the ones yet, and maybe they can just enlighten us that if they did, what is the type of criteria? What is the type of municipality that will be rewarded? Because you can't be rewarded now what you do today or tomorrow. There must be almost like a run up to it, and they must know now this is how we're going to benefit. Also an economic procurement policy. I couldn't understand what it is different than a preferential procurement policy. What is the outputs? What is the different outputs that we will get? Will there be more jobs created by that? Will there be more people in the Western Cape that will benefit by that? I mean, what do you want to achieve by that?
Thank you. Member McKenzie?
Okay. I just want to get, I'm not sure if you, from the vacancies and somebody get a response on the vacancies on the 5 senior management posts that are planned for the year this year. And just from Ms. Senior's response, she said gender-based budgeting and a gender-responsive budgeting, and at one point using one was gender-based responsibility. So if we can get clarity, but I'll be honest with you, I'm a bit confused exactly what the difference between the two, what's the reason using the one or the one line we use them in one test and the other.
Thank you. Member Belanta, follow up. Thank you for the questions. Follow-up questions, members, over to the partners.
I also want to ask if I can talk to the office of the EU.
in the process, and then we ensure that we come up with the much needed standard. In terms of the 50% wound management plan, we are in the process of researching methods, and the one we are giving attention at the moment is the rollout of an SMS competency assessment to all DDs. Now we are including all the DDs, but we are going to roll out first into the women's DDs within the previous time. To determine, and this SMS competency assessment is to determine the shortcomings, and then we will have developmental planning programs of the shortcomings, and then have these officials optimally trained and coached to be competitive in the market for these SMS programs. That is the current plan.
Maybe also to be honest about it, I think that the reason why some of the SMS was not important is because we're trying to actually make sure we have representatives. We can be as blunt about it as possible.
So just on the issue that you deal with the place, I think the member is correct that accountability starts with the community. There hasn't been any sort of board committee meetings, stuff like that, that speaks to the accountability arrangements between the community and the state. And from where I'm sitting, I'm not aware of it, because local government, department of government is monitoring the functionality of board committees as part of their own indicators. We take responsibility, particularly from a government perspective, on most of the financial issues. And it's something that we can take up with that municipality. What we also do annually, and also as part of our culture input and also our time processes, is municipalities need to report on some of these indicators. I don't know whether it's maybe published on that, I don't know which municipality it is. But it's something that we will take up with local government and actually ask them to intervene.
But Member Bevanker also, I really support the ward committee system, but it includes IVP. But in a situation where a ward committee, which is a statutory body, doesn't function, the show must go on. There must be officials, there must be other people who must take care of that ward, the municipality in itself. So your influence there for ward committees to function is important. And it's good that you raise it, but care will be taken of a ward if the ward committee don't function. Okay.
And just to follow up on the incentive for the good government we have applied online. We have got certain criteria that we've already identified. But we normally have a process that we consult with municipalities, and that is what I referred to. Before we finalize, we need to consult with municipalities. At the end of the day, we and even in terms of what are the criteria, and we've got consensus between ourselves and the president in the municipality. So it's not that we haven't applied our mind. We have not completed that particular process. Then also, you asked a question about the 8 million and the 2 million. We've also decided, because this is in an implementation phase, that we also want to make sufficient, ensure that we've got the capability. So part of that is also to ensure that, at the end of the day, to monitor that and to measure it, that we also need some capability within our environment. So hence, we've decided that for the first year, because it's the initial year, that it will only be 8 million that will be transferred and not the full, 10 million. Maybe before now that, the economic procurement policy, maybe we should view it as partly to implement the preferential procurement policy more effectively. I think maybe we should look it from that particular perspective. The preferential procurement policy has focus areas small businesses. The preferential procurement policy, however, does not give you indications on how you need to go after to develop those small businesses and how do you focus on it? It's just only thing you say, you know, in terms of small business should be a target. So part of what we're doing is actually do the market research. It's a list of all of the small businesses in which areas they, commodities they operate in, and also in which regions they are. So it's a much broader policy than what the preferential procurement policy give you an indication on. And the reason for that is that we've also learned from past experience. If you do not have a proper policy that's aligned, or with the implementation policy that's aligned with your preferential procurement policy, that you will not be able to reach those particular targets. As I've also indicated, in the preferential procurement policy, there are a number of targets. There's you, there's women, there's small business, there's black business. So at the end of the day, one needs to go and decide which are the areas that you're going to focus on, and that's the direction that we would like to give the department. So when they put out those particular contracts, it's quite clear in terms of which are those targets we're targeting as a problem, and it needs to be aligned in terms of the current economic environment within the Western Cape department as well as the municipality, because the intention is also to promote it within municipalities that we've got one process within the Western Cape. So the economic procurement policy is wider. I think if one could ideally explain it, it's an implementation process. Although we've implemented quite a bit of the preferential procurement policy, we want to ensure that we get the necessary impact, and that is why we're developing the preferential economic procurement policy. So it's not the same. I think it's more implementation stage in terms of reaching those objectives that's in the preferential procurement policy. And as Nadia said, it's actually wider than just the preferential procurement policy. It also speaks about supplier development and how we should go about the supply development. So I don't know whether Nadia wants to add more to that.
So now repeating what I just said, I think the issue is, I think if you recall the presentation that we did on preferential procurement, we really highlighted the potential, some of the challenges that we find in the procurement environment. So the question was, how do we use for more sustainable initiatives and how we would do that? But if I were to reference the budget overview in the book that we've written on page 4, you will see some of the salient aspects of what the key focus areas for the policy is highlighted on page 4, where we say it's about a uniform approach and increasing economic impact of public budget spend across departments to increase transparency of public procurement process, both internally and within government to the public, and expand the focus of targeted procurement beyond its own focus on preferential procurement, and to include a focus on diversified spatial development and sustainability. And to that, we look at markets and increase the participation of SMEs, in particular business located in townships, rural areas, and secondary towns, and decreasing procurement red tape, as well as improving information on supply, so improving our data and information that we have to inform better decisions when we do allocate business services and infrastructure. And then obviously the promotion of targeting supply development programs that become more sustainable and have an impact on the economy and creating jobs and the rest of the targets that we're hoping to achieve. So to that, to all of those criteria, the policy at this stage is in a draft stage. We're at the point where we need to take it back to cabinet to finalize the documents that are there. To that, there will be a fully fledged implementation and change management plan that we would have to be coupled to those initiatives with milestones and KPIs developed in terms of all of the targeted focus areas that I've mentioned.
When you do your budget based on gender, so that's gender-based budgeting, it's already from upfront you say that so much is going to men and so much is going to women. Whereas gender-responsive budgeting takes into account the issues around female and male, or gender issues, like doesn't matter if you're male or female, all gender issues, it takes that into account. And then gender-responsive budgeting is also to better promote gender equality and to look at all of the various areas that either impact on male or female. And
expensive or trouble. Thank you very much for the response. Members, can we move on? Proposal? It's a proposal.
Yeah. Present.
Okay. Yeah, okay. No, I think. Yeah, okay. All right. Let's get the response page by page. Yeah.
Okay. Let me hear what they thought.
Yeah. Okay.
So we're gonna go.
That was a general question.
We're gonna be here all day.
Okay. Over to the partner. Yeah.
From the 37, we can take it to about 31 million.
Yeah.
The other small difference relates to changing the board's operating costs. Remember, the board is also moving new premises now, and there will be some expenditure, and they will also be responsible for their own electricity and water and stuff like that. The rental they have to pay is obviously for town council, department of transport, and public works. And then there's just a normal inflation in
operating costs. Thank you. Member S?
Chairperson, can you just give an unpacking of that, moving to the new premises of the board? Have they moved now? When do they move? What was the total cost? What will it cost Treasury around that? And why would they, what is this amount that they will need? Is it to equip it? Is it for partitioning? I mean, that cost from the free board budget. Just to get a proper understanding, Chairperson, we were also scheduled to actually visit the board. Remember, and there was a question for you that we can't visit the board because there was a delay. Now, what was the delay? Why was the delay? I mean, this committee worked very hard, and who was the span in the works?
We're almost there. It's one of our house of six stories of this committee, and I'm sure they'll give a good answer to that. Over to you.
We're almost there. In fact, it wasn't as easy as we initially thought. And we've got the news today that they're starting the construction work at the building at the moment. Obviously, the department is constrained because the contractors can only work during the normal day hours, because obviously they're next to a place that's actually a call center. The entire one floor has been reconstructed, so we've been involved in the entire process with new petitioning, etc. The initial costing came to about 2.5-2.6 million. We asked them to stand it down appropriately. The total expenditure, estimated expenditure for about 5 years of rental comes to about 20 million rand or so in terms of the requirements of the annual. And that is why we indicate to the committee that beyond the 5 year period, the plan, long-term plan, is actually to construct a premises own building for the gambling board. But given the issue at the moment, I mean, the gambling board should be able to move into that premises by the latest May. So it's something that we're actually involved in. Obviously, there was a building on this and all that. So between our department, Transport Public Works, and the gambling board, the matter that we are dealing with. In fact, we met on last week and Friday, so Mr. Abrams, the Public Works team, and they've signed up on the plans, and the work is ongoing. Obviously, the payment will come from Public Works. They will pay for some of the construction work, like the petitioning, up to an amount of R1 million, and the gambling board will pay for the breaking. So that's also part of the marginal chart of the exchange.
Thank you very much, members. Thank you, members, for the question. 97.
Render the sources and levels of provincial funding predictable. Of course it's not, because 50% is unallocated. Why again that big chunk of unallocated money? That's the question there, Chairperson. Yeah. And that's good.
Yeah. Over to
over the period we've really tried to confirm some of the allocations. So what you see, if you go back 2 to 3 years, like the funding support for, as an example, in Stowa, that's in the budget now. The funding support for the support in terms of capacity building for municipalities, that's in the budget. The remainder portion of that money is to deal with some of the outcomes of our annual processes in terms of integrated management process. So we're going next month into our LGBT process. We've just completed our technical engagement process together with municipalities and local government and environmental affairs. All of those inform our decision making. I can give you the So we clearly need to match our own strategy, what is it that we want to achieve, given our own aim of good governance, good overall financial governance, and also our other aims and objectives to make this fund sustainable. We then get together as a team, through our grant committee, together with the Department of Local Government, and then we make certain decisions. And then what we try and do is for these monies to go to municipalities normally before the adjustment assessment. If we cannot conclude some of it, it gets taken up in the adjustment assessment and we deal with it in that process. But we try to provide some assurances to the municipalities. It's not perfect as yet, because we also want to be responsive to our process, and therefore we leave a portion unallocated.
Thank you. Page 99, page 100, 101, 102,
102, okay. Chairperson, I referred to your policy developments. I believe that's new policies that you plan to develop. And there you refer to standard for infrastructure procurement. And I just would like to say, or ask, what is this? Is this really progressive? Is it really specifying materials and things like that? How progressive is this what you're doing here? Or is it just more of the same? And then you say you're going to actively participate in this national gambling regulations. And just help us a bit. What are you going to do around this? How active will this participation be? What type of participation do you envisage around this national regulations? Now that's 102. Do you also come 103 checks?
Yes. Yeah.
Just at 6.4, is that the total claim, or is it the total possible claim, or is this the almost like halfway amount that you budget, or did you really calculate this in terms of that overcharging? Is that the actual amount, Chairperson? Thank you.
Over to the department.
The policy development here actually refers to the new financial inclusion undertaking in terms of the standard for infrastructure, procurement infrastructure, as well as the delivery management system. So they have issued a draft and it's gone on the roadshow where they have engaged all nine provinces on it, and they're intending to issue the new document on 1 April, we say from 1 April. The previous version that they issued made it applicable to both municipalities as well as the province. The way they have issued it, there were certain gaps in terms of the alignment between what the VIAMA would require, what the CIDB regulations are in terms of infrastructure. So there were certain gaps and they were trying to address some of those with the review process. So they looked at the comments that they received, and they will issue now a new SIPDM in the new financial year. Once that has been issued, we will then have to look at what we have in the province and then align it or adopt as is.
So just in relation to the two other questions, yes, the 6.4 or 6 million, that's the money that the amount that's been calculated, and that will be one shot, so that's a maximum amount. And then the other issue in terms of the active participation, I mean, Chair, you are aware through the Standard Committee of Finance that this vote is currently before the legislature. As a department, we put together substantial comments together, obviously, with legal services. We also work hand in hand with the Gambling Board in relation to our participation in this process. And why we say that participation is because the implications of that bill. Or the bill will have implications on the fiscal environment of the province, and particularly some of the plans that's in place. So it's in relation to two matters. It's effectively as it relates to gambling in the business, but also as it relates to the potential loss of any revenue. So during the last hearing in this legislature, we've actually presented some comments. And in fact, there is another meeting tomorrow we will gate provide some comments to the committee in relation to on that discussion.
Follow up, please, members.
The last question was, it stated here, national gambling regulations, not the amendment clause, it's something different. Number one. Number two, standard for infrastructure procurement. I thought I'm going to hear some exciting stuff happening. You also create the impression that it's a Western Cape initiative. Now it's a national initiative. What is the exciting stuff? Let's get away from the words and the strategies and say, well, this is what the standards in terms of infrastructure is going to help support. It's going to create jobs in that way. But anyway, let's move on.
This is the comment you made, Member Ace, or was the question that you asked? Follow-up question.
Yes,
Chief. The comment.
Did that actually be in the amendment or are they referring to regulations that we're not aware of?
Okay, all right.
It's actually both. So yeah. It's the bill and the vote that we do. So the gambling board can have this part of that process they so wish. Mm. But it's something that we need to be involved in, given that there's still implications.
Okay. Thank you. Can you move on, members? Covered 103, 104, 105, 106, 107, 107 members.
And further maintenance of the central supplier database, if you can just understand what the meaning of that is.
Over to the department. Page 108, 109, 110, 111, and 8.
We look at personnel and we see their personnel numbers and we see others as interns, EPWP, learnerships, 95. That's very high. And just give us a bit of a breakdown and say, are they staff members or are they working? Learning, what is that 95 chairperson? I believe on the next page there's again that reference to that number of bursaries offered 35 and 60. I don't know if that's supposed to add up or is it just coincidental, but I'll get to that question when we get there. But can you just get that 95? It's quite a good chunk, a third of the total allocation of stock. What are they actually doing? Who are they?
I think it should be higher if there's more funds. But over to the department.
Do you remember that we are on a state of internship campaign? I mean, it's funded through a three program, and we have also run the NAPAM e-writing competition. So I mean, that comes in a bursary obligation, and the intent is to obviously give the bursary. The beneficiary for this particular person is an opportunity to work or to get experience within the provincial project. So, in terms of the breakdown,
What's your mic, please?
I'm
picture, we touch on about 30 a year. So obviously, in your business, in the system from the previous year, what we had, so the cumulative number, I mean, in the third, in the fourth year, the intake from the year one will be into the system. So on average, we're something about 100 per year.
Just a follow-up. Are all of the monthly files actually working in the department?
No, Jake, some of them are in the department and some of them have been allocated to different departments to get experience.
Thank you.
Okay,
fine. Page 112,
113, Mr. McKinsey. On page 113, this document is called Alex Texas, and I'm going to address the data license fee. It says 5.62% is there, but not 3 years there. This is the title kind of hallway. It's hanging in the head.
Taking our members, Pierre Lanco's question away from
okay,
I know you're following that very closely. Over to the department.
So we're paying for the researchers on the infrastructure of the municipality, not the infrastructure of the municipality. The research is the infrastructure.
Check
that
the research project.
Okay.
Of that money we're dealing with to use to support municipalities in the
page 115, 116, 117, 118, 119,
119 members. Just on the sale of goods and services, I believe that's inspection. I'm referring to the revenue of the board. 37 million, that's quite an increase there. Just help me on that one. On sale of goods and services other than capital assets. There was a period that it took more share, I can't recall now. And then a chairperson on the other transfers at 1.8 million, if you could just help us there. What is the issue there? So that we see the departmental transfers, that's the one we discussed earlier on. And then 37, is that their own generation, and is that then they do inspections and they charge people for it? And how did you actually get to that number with the increase of almost 40% that we see there? Thank you.
The 1.8 million, that's an amount that's in the budget for the pension of surplus funds. That's enough amongst others to deal in the main with this relocation of the board from Cape Town to Kuruz. Obviously, they need to get people to move their entire belongings to that new place. And if there's any other requirements that they need to do, it will have to be funded from the 1.8 million. But the principle is also that if there's any funds that they make from the 1.8 million, that will come back. Then in relation to sales of goods and services, there are certain fees that the board can actually charge, other than the investigation fees and fees for licensing that actually accrue to the gambling board. So that's their own revenue. So they've got a total revenue budget of 77 million, of which they fund about 37 million from their own funds. And then we provide about 38 million all in all, including the pension amount, to fund the activities of the gambling board in the lake. So those amounts that they have related to their own revenue.
And 124. That's it, members. I would like just at this point to, you know, not just look at vote 3, but if we look at the book in itself, that cover all the votes in that, I just would like to say thank you to the Provincial Treasury and the Minister for this important work you are doing in the Western Cape Provincial Government. Being of service to Provincial Treasury itself, but to all the departments. I'm turning over to the Minister for the closing remarks and HOD.
Thank you, Chief. I'd like to make a few general remarks on questions that emanated from the committee. The Honourable Member Kenji talked about the Provincial Treasury and the budget in relation to other provinces. I think it is a fact that we are, as my HOD indicated, the lowest budget in terms of the work that we do. We are definitely smaller. I think in terms of the scope and the scale of the work that they are doing is much more. They do a lot of more evidence-based research and publications, and not every province does a medium-term budget policy statement, and this is an enormous amount of work because that does give you the platform for doing all the architecture of good government. It is fundamentally what is in the medium-term budget policy statement. There's a lot of, we've seen the APP, that huge number of technical assessments that is being done through the various departments, but also the quarterly assessment, the local government policy and tech assessments, the quarterly reports that are taken to the cabinet, is all the work that this treasury does, in addition to the work of the municipalities, the 30 municipalities, the buses and all of that work. If you look at the scale and scope of the work, and the whole work does go through also my office, and if I see a amount of work, I am definitely convinced that we are under resourced, and probably there is now an organizational development study underway to just look into those particular matters. We also look at the public entity, but not only the public entity of the Western Cape Gambling and Racing Board, but all other public entities in the province. That executive and financial oversight does also take place in this month. and the supply chain management of 30 municipalities, and the supply chain management of the labor department and its various institutions. So I think the answer is we are the smallest place hugely under pressure, and I think we are going to see some future developments in this particular regard. I have instructed the HOD that I think we need to look at establishing a MFMA separate branch. That work is currently underway. You will see in this budget that we now presented before you some progress in that particular direction while the other studies is currently being done through Rahuli. I think the issue of the waste bill and the question is what are we doing in managing the waste bill? Again, over the last 10 years, you would have noticed that rating agencies, the Financial Fiscal Commission, the National Treasury, even the World Bank and the IMF, their technical assessments make the point clear. We in South Africa need to manage the waste bill down, and that is a conversation that happened over 10 years. We have been implementing those particular strategies in terms of managing the COE levels, as Annelie speakers correctly pointed out. We have the lowest COE level in South Africa, 54%, the highest is 72% in Limpopo. So I'm quite happy that we have introduced COE ceilings and we are managing that. I think, post the unification in Germany, we also looked at what is the trend with big COE budgets. There's a thing called natural attrition, and I think what Annelie speaker explained is that we leave that up to the accounting officers to decide when the post is vacant, whether they were allowed for natural attrition or whether they were allowed for, in terms of their specific needs, whether that vacancy needs to exist. So we have implemented the COE levels, and I think there is a moral population of the country that needs to manage the waste load. I think also the issue of the gender diversity, I think it was adequately answered, so that, well, and I always get some questions from Honourable Member Beerenko, does this minister and the staff listen to the input? I think the evidence speaks for itself. We have specifically included that issue for you in the MTEC. So all 30 departments had to come and explain what they're doing. So we value and appreciate the work of this committee, and it finds its way in the operational activities of this government. In Centrum, did we think about it? Absolutely. I personally thought deeply about it, because we cannot simply carry on in rewarding a failure as we have seen. The big failure is Eskom. State guarantees, when it was 477 billion, and later 500 billion, 350 billion of that state guarantees was taken up by Eskom. Now, think yourself, as an individual, you know a friend whose business is bankrupt, badly managed, and you send surety for that person. Borrow sample from Lila and Rafa Gerunko is I ook van de onderwerp. In families, staan mensen borg in this bitter pill om achterna te gaan. Die ook kan men niet terug betalen. That's the situation of Eskom. So rewarding failure, we have to turn the shop, we rewarding excellence, and we go deeply. We said not only for the outcomes, we said service delivery, we said criteria, what is the service delivery mandate of a municipality, what is the performance, what is the financial performance, what are the ratios, the liquidity and so on, and do they facilitate economic growth? How many building plans do they approve? Because if you approve building plans quicker, there's more people on the job, quicker turnover. We look at do they support SMEs. We look at the capital budget. Many of the municipalities get the used capital budget, but they don't spend it. Maintenance and repairs, I have prioritized the repairs and maintenance in this government through the budget. We want to see whether municipalities also prioritize repairs and maintenance. And I've implemented a thing called IPT, innovation, partnership and technology. We want to see not whether they simply do their normal work, but what type of innovation are they bringing to the table? And I think something that Honourable Member Beerenko always raised is citizen engagement, citizen participation, and communication to the citizen. So I think we thought deep about it, and we want to see if we're going to pilot it. We don't believe we're going to be successful day one, but certainly the groundwork is there, and we want to communicate it, because we believe also in participatory democracy. So I think the basis is there, but consultation is always better than supreme wisdom, and we follow consultation.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, I think there's a vote that we probably go last. In the correcting, I think it's the last time that we have a kind of committee. So I think what I would like to say is to actually thank the committee. I think in the time that I've been under the watch of this committee and between myself and the team, we always learn and we say we actually value the input of the committee. The questions that you ask us, you keep us on our toes, and you do what you do from an oversight perspective. So I think from my side and the office of the senior, I actually wish to say thank you to the committee. I mean, we don't ask us easy questions, but that's not your job.
Thank you. Just to the members, I want to thank you for your contribution as well and your quality input and questions. I think that is doing our job as oversight. I think that was a wise standard from this committee. Thank you. And to the minister, advocate from your minister's office, HOD, Mr. Malila, the gambling board, keep the ship going. Thank you very much to all the officials and every single worker in Treasury. We really appreciate what you've done by promoting good governance and good financial management throughout the Western Cape provincial government. We really appreciate it and all the best for the future. Thank you for your service on behalf of us. There's tea at the back and something to drink for the
traffic.
Officials. Sure.
Traffic.
Think of traffic, it's too late now. Enjoy the tea. Okay. Members, we just have, I think, two or three resolutions that Shimi just wants to take us through.
Okay, thank you, members. These two resolutions that have come up throughout this whole discussion, the first of which was the budgetary breakdown for environmental affairs and development planning as a vehicle. Should we just request that they give us the breakdown of that budget, or
not necessary?
Not necessary.
No, okay.
Okay, we're going to leave that one. The next one is a report on the departmental gender responsive budget. Must we leave that question?
We have follow-up questions. Yeah, we have follow-up questions on
that. Okay,
so
then
yeah,
there's
fine.
Nothing there.
Yeah.
Because
okay.
That's only
that's
two that I...
Yeah. Oh, that is right.
Okay. Thank you.
Members, we will do the... thanks, we will do the report, and at the next hour session, we will then vote on the report.
Tomorrow
is the amendment.
It's the national
gambling
amendment.
That's one tomorrow morning.
The negotiation
amendment. We will get, I think Tuesday get an hour, so.
I'm asking, because the report is not long.
Yeah, but she will compile the report and then bring it to the committee, and then we will do it.
Okay. I'll put it on the screen.
Yeah. Thank you very much, members. Meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.
Thanks for your participation.
Meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, Member H. And over Bivakal in particular, for your work. Thank you.
Thank you. Coffee. Hmm? Goed, dan gaan we de koffie. Ja, maar goed, dan kan het door.